At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to the Dupree Show, baby. Still waiting on a better thing to drink than watermelon juice, baby. Ah. Welcome back. Y'all didn't see that just then. You know what I mean? So give me a new window. That's right. We're in the studio. Where's my stuff at, boy? Yes, dude. Getting organized for the show, dude, while shooting the show, dude. All right. Facts. Pretty wavy. What's new with you guys, huh? What's new in y'all's world? I'll tell you what. It's a beautiful day to sit down and play roll around in the hay and pray. Yeah, man. Episode 56, I believe. And I don't really have a roadmap for this episode. Just got a lot of work has been going on. It's getting hot here in AZ, baby. It's getting hot. But the business getting hotter. Been hella busy this week, man. Good busy. Happy to be busy. But nonetheless, you get a little bit of that pit stench there at the end of a big day. You understand? That's that real adrenaline running through your veins, baby. That's that real live culture coming out of your armpits by the end of the day. And I've had some sticky pits at the end of the last couple of days. Just really, really getting locked in, focused, trying to get some of these people to come over to my side of financial planning, you know. But we love it. I love talking about that kind of stuff with people. But, you know, it can be, hope I didn't click nothing. It can be get your heart rate up a little bit, you know. Golly, man. I tried to go no sunglasses this episode, but I'm already seeing, like, flashing lights where they're not supposed to be. So I'll try and see if that goes away. If it doesn't, we don't have to fix that. What's going on, man? Good to have y'all here. Good to be here. I was walking down the sidewalk in my neighborhood yesterday with my dog. Days have been so busy that I don't even really have time to run little Jasper in the mornings the last couple of days. And so I took him out on a walk in the neighborhood. And, of course, we get about a block down the road, and the kid wants to drop a deuce on somebody's front lawn. And I didn't have shit bags. I didn't prepare. It was something that I didn't think about until I was already out of the house walking the dog. And it had already been a long day. So I was like, dude, you know what? I might just have to be POS today. I might just have to let the dog shit in someone's yard and leave it. And I know it's bad karma, dude. I know it's suboptimal characteristically. But it's not too often we make it out of the house without shit bags if we're walking through the neighborhood. It's open desert. It's fair game. Let the coyotes eat it. You know what I'm saying? But so he takes a shit. There's glass windows all around the house. And he finishes up. And frankly, man, I just tried to speed walk away. And get like five steps down the sidewalk, and I hear, "Hey, bro." I was like, "Fuck." "Yeah, what's up?" He's like, "Can you clean up after your dog? We've had people come by and do this before." And I was like, "You got it, man." So we walked our happy asses back to the house, got some shit bags, went and picked it up. And the motherfucker popped back out. He's a good dude. Popped back out and thanked me. I was like, damn, dude. I really was about to be kind of a piece of shit right there, dude. Not picking up the pieces of shit. But then I ended up picking up the pieces of shit because the guy popped out and told me that I needed to pick up the pieces of shit off his lawn. And I thought back to all the times where I saw a pile of dog shit in my front lawn. And I'm sitting here thinking, dude, I'm out here undermining the good faith of this neighborhood, this community, by even thinking about leaving the house without shit bags. What kind of person am I? And then I thought to myself, you're the kind of person that would walk two blocks back to the house to get shit bags to fix the problem. Boom. You know what I mean? So what else has been going on? I mean, not much, man. Been switching over to training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as opposed to straight MMA. We switched over to a new gym, and it's a nice big 12,000 square foot space. Literally same plaza, same parking lot as the old gym. And it's been awesome. But the MMA team, the amateur pro guys, they now train at 10:30 a.m. every day. And so it used to be Tuesday, Thursday, spar Saturday. Tuesday, Thursday in the evening, Saturday in the morning. Now it's Monday through Saturday at 10:30. And during the week, your boy is just trying to recruit new folks to come invest with me. I'm in meetings every day during that time. So I was starting to wake up with some headaches and not really wanting to spar as much, stand and bang as much anyway. So it was just kind of worked out. It was a nifty little transition. And so now I'm training no gi at 5:30. it feels much more physically sustainable because I'm not getting hit, frankly. And training with Tim, probably the best out there right now. Definitely the best out there right now. And it just feels good, man. I'm able to get in there 4 times, 5 times a week. At least that's what I've been doing the last 2 weeks. Plan on keep doing that. And so, yeah, man, training's been good. Really enjoying lately just learning new maneuvers in jiu-jitsu and then kind of sharpening the iron wrestling too, you know, getting somebody down to the ground. I don't think there's a better type of exercise out there, both mentally and physically and spiritually too sometimes. So that's pretty cool, man. Get on the jiu-jitsu mat and do a little bit of gay shit. You know what I'm saying? Get down a little bit. Get jiggy a little bit. You know? And so, you know, if there was a guy that was a little gay and he walked up to me and he wanted to roll for a round, you know what, man? I just ain't gonna let you take my back. You know what I'm like? That's one thing that I'm probably not going to allow. Because then, you know, he might drop his drawers and get the wrong idea. And then I got to kind of backtrack in front of the whole class and be like, oh, hey, brother, I ain't jocking that way. You know, and he probably have to be feeling real let down or humiliated. But, you know, if I don't allow a gay jiu-jitsu practitioner to take my back, I mean, I think we're good, right? I think we'd be okay. If it was MMA and you could hit a little bit, then that might be a hate crime. So we'll probably steer clear of that. If somebody was gay and wanted to, you know, a gay MMA fighter was like, hey, let's hop in the cage, I'd probably be like, dude, like, I'm trying to manage risk in my life right now, man. I ain't trying to catch no hate crime. You know what I mean? What else is going on, man? What else is going on? I got hella clips from social media this week. Bengals are in the headlines again, man. Apparently, Zach Taylor, the head coach, texted the king of defensive ends, Mr. Trey Hendrickson, the night before OTAs to tell him that he would be fined if he did not make it to mandatory minicamp. And that apparently triggered Trey to go to the media and say that there has been no communication from the Bengals other than that. And he said his relationship with Zach is still good, but that is what triggered him to go to the media. And he was asked, if you don't have a new contract by the beginning of the season, will you play? And his answer was no. So I've talked about this before, but the media definitely likes to grab these headlines and talk about how the Bengals are an incompetent franchise. And they write these articles, they post these videos because they know that the fans of the Cincinnati Bengals are going to feel the same way. And they're going to engage with that content a bit more. And it's not a well-run organization. It's just not. You know, you have two generational players fall into your lap back-to-back years. Where does the franchise stand if those guys aren't a part of things? If we don't happen to have those draft picks in those particular years with those particular guys, it ain't no use to talk about woulda, coulda, shoulda. What is just is. But in terms of the competence of this organization, I think my 6-year-old German short-haired pointer probably would have known to take Joe Burrow number one overall in 2020. There was a bit of debate the next year whether Cincinnati should draft Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase. And there was a bit of outrage when Ja'Marr Chase was drafted over Penei Sewell because the argument from fans was, we need linemen more than we need receivers. And then there was all that talk in that first preseason when Ja'Marr dropped like one pass or two passes. One of them was like a screen pass. I remember it. Oh, we should have drafted Penei. We should have drafted this. We should have drafted that. So I think where there's smoke, there's definitely fire in terms of the Bengals being a bad organization. But do I think that the media likes to throw gasoline on said fire? Absolutely. Absolutely. If we find a way to get a deal done for Trey, which I think we will, none of this discussion's even going to be relevant. But if the Bengals continue to stiff one of the best defensive players in the league, and they don't give him a new deal, and Trey Hendrickson doesn't play in 2025, where does that leave an already ailing defense? Not just in terms of personnel, not just the loss of the talent, but morale. I remember when I was with the Colts, we had a left tackle by the name of Anthony Costanzo, I think was his name. Or Costanza, I can't remember. Number 75, he was a great player. But he wasn't not the best talent-wise on that front five. But I remember noticing a big difference in terms of the mentality that those front five guys brought when Costanzo was on the field. He brought that presence. He brought a sense of security to the younger guys. He was an older cat at this point in his career. What does that do if you have Trey literally healthy sitting on the sideline for Cincinnati? What does that do to the morale of an already ailing defense? People running the Bengals, they do this for work. They think about this every day. If they're not brain dead, they should be thinking about that too. Because the talent's one thing. Leading the NFL in sacks is another thing. But veteran leadership out there with you, guiding the young guys through the trenches when bullets start flying in the course of a professional football game, I think that's invaluable. You know what I mean? Why don't we just take a look at what Trey said, huh?
One of those things that we're just not seeing eye to eye on the structure. It seems that a shorter deal is something that they're pushing pretty hard. That puts us in the same place I was in 2022, where I have to renegotiate the next year, because if the goals are the same, you're playing at a better level than I did last year, then next year we're just kicking the can down the road. So it's something where I think both parties should understand that a long-term contract that guarantees that know that I can continue to play at the level that I have been is a mutual respect, where that's where my values lie, and it also allows me to stop having to negotiate every offseason. about something that has been almost 4 years.
Trey, are you willing? Are you willing to sit out regular season games? Like, if it came to that, something you feel like you might have to do to try to come to that, you would willing to do that?
Well, I can raise a hypothetical with a hypothetical. I wouldn't be standing here with you if I got the deal in January. You know, so to say I'm going to sit out or to say I'm not going to, what I can say is I'm very disappointed with the communication that's been had. It's very, former players have walked in these shoes, and what it foreshadows is not something that I'm excited about to tell my wife and family, like, hey, this is, I'm getting good vibes or should be happy. Those comments stink, you know, and you know, that's what makes this place so special is that they watch me every day. They see how hard I work. There's no other organization knows me better than this one. They watch me an individual. They see how I carry myself as a human being, and they know me. So it stinks when the value somewhere else, because I was fortunate enough to have that trade request granted, whether it was 1, 2, 3 first-round picks, I had no idea. It gave me the fortunate circumstance to see my value elsewhere, and I'm hoping it doesn't come to that.
He truthfully will put his hope in that not happening. You could tell how disconcerted he is. A little recoil from the mic here. Yeah, I just don't get why it has to be this way with Trey Hendrickson. I really don't. And I'll never understand. Because the only people that truly understand are the ones sitting behind a desk looking at the financials of the organization. But also, like, you know, I haven't spent a day in my life being a football executive. But, you know, like I said, I have spent the day-to-day in an NFL building before. And morale is a huge, huge thing. I think the Bengals messed up not only financially not paying Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, really Jamar, before last season, because obviously they balled and their prices went up, but also from a morale perspective. You hear players talk about this all the time when there's issues brewing around a deal with a veteran or a superstar on an NFL roster. He'll start to, even on a subconscious level, you take the most stoic guy around, but if you hear the media chirping about his deal, guys start to kind of bring that into the building a little bit. Everybody else starts to feel the vibes around that, and all of a sudden your team's morale is not what it could be. So I think that happened a little bit with Cincy last year with Jamar, and now it's looking like we're going to have a second year in a row where a veteran superstar is rolling into the locker room, kind of huffing and puffing, deservedly so, about not getting a deal. Obviously, the Bengals tremendously underachieved last year. And I just have to wonder if the season would have been any, again, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But history often rhymes. Sometimes it repeats itself. If you're a really dumb organization, it might even repeat itself 2 years in a row, where you don't learn from the mistake. It's just like any other workplace. If you have a leader that's pissed off at the organization, feels like they're not being done right, the other folks are going to feel that. And that might affect, you know, sometimes it doesn't, but with the average person, it's probably going to affect their work a little bit. So, City Cincinnati deserves better than this. I think. I just think the family running this organization is pretty incompetent. They haven't proved anybody otherwise. So, that's what I think about it. There was also some talk about the Bengals rookies, particularly Shamar Stewart, the first-round pick, and Demetrius Knight, the second-round pick, defensive end, linebacker, respectively. There's a report that they didn't participate in mandatory minicamp. And somebody, ML Football is an account on Twitter that I don't know, and Dove Kleiman, there's these like JPA football, like there's all these like kind of spam NFL accounts on X, on Twitter, that they'll break like stories that aren't completely true. And they'll find a way to word the tweet so that it's really intriguing and clickbaity. And so I saw something that just made me furious. So the first and second round guys, those rookies, they didn't participate. Apparently, I don't even know if that's true anymore. Apparently, they didn't participate in mandatory minicamp. Also, Bengals are the only organization in football that have mandatory minicamp for one day, as opposed to three. The rest of the other league is like 3 to 5. Bengals are the only team in the league with one day mandatory minicamp. So maybe that's part of the slow start the last couple of years, being horrible in September. It's kicking into fucking gear. You know what I mean? Let's try and not start out 0-2. You know what I mean? But anyways, apparently there's a report these guys, they didn't participate. They're the only rookies in the league to not do that or to not participate. And then, again, like, I don't know the validity of any of this because this all came from ML Football. And they dropped something that said that the Bengals are the only organization in pro football to not add a protection clause in the contracts around rookies getting hurt in minicamp. But then Demetrius Knight, the linebacker, the second round pick, he quote tweeted ML Football and he said, "News to me, had a great practice today and looking forward to practice tomorrow. Thanks." So that kind of defeats the credibility of the entire reporting. And now I don't know if any of it's true. But if it's made up, it's very well spun narrative, because that's the exact kind, like that's the exact kind of things that I would expect the Cincinnati Bengals to do. So could be true, and if that's the case, it's frustrating. Could be false, and if that's the case, holy shit, whoever's spinning this stuff probably spends all day in the trenches thinking about different tweets, different headlines to drop. I gotta charge my phone. And we back about 4 hours later. I thought my phone was in a state where it needed resuscitation. And then I realized that it was time to go to Yu-Gi-Tsu. So now we're here. You guys are almost getting like a double header type special. You understand what I mean? And when I got home from the gym, I had to walk the dog, get him nice and situated with some exercise. So I think that I exercise this dog enough. I think I exercise him pretty good. I took him out this morning. I let him rip out in the desert when my schedule permits. And on our walks out there, I always notice sometimes a lady's out there. She's real petite. You can kind of tell by the way she dresses that she, you know, kind of a, maybe a, I don't want to say frail human, maybe a gust of wind might break her bones, but she dresses like it. She's got this, I don't even know what you call it. It's like them Handmaid's Tale ass hats that, like, you know what I'm talking about. So she wears one of those. She's got different fits. So sometimes she'll be wearing blue. Sometimes she'll be wearing red. Sometimes she'll be wearing purple. Nice, happy medium, you know. And she's got everything color coordinated, matched up. So she's always, I don't understand it, because she's got glasses on like this, a mask, a Handmaid's Tale ass, you know, what do you call that? A bonnet? And she's out there, man. At least she gets out there. I don't understand the point. You know, you get out there, you walk, you get that heart rate up maybe a little bit, some zone two. But I mean, I think the main reason I get out there is to get some sun on the chi-chis. And you kind of defeat that purpose when your whole body's covered head to toe. I don't know if she's worried about getting COVID or what. But today, my little dog, he's running around, having a good time. And he kind of knows who to pick on a little bit. And I see him running around out in the desert. I catch this lady in my left eyeball. And I see Jasper start to run toward her. I was like, oh, Lord. Because I know if I try and call him off, it's going to scare her. So I just let it play out. And this dog's running. And he runs up to her. And he kind of just does a little nose boop on her side. And she lets out It was the old lady scared yelp of a lifetime, dude. Ah! Oh my God! And I just looked at her. I was like, "Yeah, sorry." Kept walking, you know. Oh my God! But she, I can't even. You know, it's funny. After that happened this morning, I was like, dude, I'm definitely going to talk about that on the pod. And I'm going to remember the sound that she made so that I can recreate it. And I don't think I can do it. Listen. It was pretty fucking funny. You know. It's just, you know, it's interesting, right? Like the dog's an extension of you. So if your dog gets in someone's grill by default, you're in that person's grill. I haven't known many folks that are able to separate dog from state. You know what I mean? Church and state, dog and state, same thing. I haven't known many people to be able to separate it, separate and look at the situation objectively. I remember one time, man. I took Jasper to the dog park, and he was running around doing his thing. And I'll say this about my dog, man. He don't play no shit. He's not the biggest dude out there, but he's got heart. You know what I mean? He's got, he ain't gonna let no male dog come up and hump him. You know what I mean? And I remember, man, we was at the dog park and this 150-pound American bully with a big set of cajones starts walking up on my boy, starts posturing, then tries to mount. And Jasper, of course, was running. And I picked that damn dog up and I said, "We're leaving." And I remember looking at the owners. You know, they were just, they were idiots, man. Probably my age. It was a couple, you know. Not Caucasian. And the guy was kind of skinny fat, you know, and they're just out to fucking lunch at the dog park with their damn killing machine. And I walk up to the guy, I'm like, "Hey, what's going on, brother?" And, you know, of course, like,
What do you mean? My dog? What do you mean?
"Hey, brother. Ay, caramba, brother. I don't know what to do, brother."
This is bullshit, man. That dog could have killed my dog just by looking at him. So in that case, I couldn't separate dog and state. You know what I mean? I just couldn't. We all come up short, you know. Good to be here with y'all. I feel like I'm doing a second episode here, but we're just doing a little doubleheader. I know I got my weekly Bengals rant off. What else did we talk about, man? What else did we touch upon, man? I'm not really finding a lot of new music this week, and I always wonder, like, when I'm not finding new music, I'm like, is something wrong with me? Is something wrong with me? But you know how it is, man. That's just life, man. Peaks and valleys, man. Type deal. But no, I mean, work's going good. Training hard. I got news at the gym today. That an old ex of mine, they got these, so they got these Facebook groups, these women in Phoenix, they got these Facebook groups apparently. I don't know if enough people talk about this. The women in Phoenix, they got these Facebook groups, and they basically say, like, "Do not date this guy. This guy will ruin your life. This guy will," you know. And I got word at the gym that I had an ex of mine getting on one of these Facebook groups, man, dogging on your boy, man. Come on, man. What are we talking about, man? It was interesting to me because I was like, I wouldn't think that this particular lady would be the one to jump on an online forum to talk about your boy. But here we are. And I mean, man, there are always things that we can do better. You know what I'm saying? But I think that you gotta find more shit to do. You know what I mean? I think that you gotta move beyond, if that makes sense. Maybe because I burped too much. Maybe that was the grievance. I don't know. But you know, it's funny when I think these online forums, I think these little group chats on Facebook, I think for the women, at least here, they're pretty alive. They're teeming with complaints and grievances and things of that nature. Y'all gotta find something else to do, man. Go out there and make the world a better place. Start a fucking OnlyFans. Read a book. You know what I'm saying? Go out there, create something. Tempe's got a lively tech scene. Go out there and create some software, baby girl. Go out there, get you a damn ice cream donut at Naval Ice Cream. You know, they got the little truck there in Phoenix. Go out there, get you a damn Elvis. You know, you got the bacon peanut butter ice cream with the raspberry drizzle, a little PBJ. Go out there and find some. You know what I'm saying? So that was kind of my first experience with that. Kind of, you know, I don't know. I guess having ears to the street pay, boy. You know what I'm saying? That should pay all, boy. So yeah, that was something kind of funny that I guess you could consider breaking news. Shout out to my dog. Shout out to his lady. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I'd rather know an ugly truth than be blissfully unaware. You know what I mean? And it kind of just, you know, there's always a positive spin on something. I think that it kind of just tells me, hey, dupe dog, you made the right decision. So, yeah, just something funny that happened to me. What do we got here on the Twitter feed, huh? Let's take a look here. We got Cincinnati stuff. We got a good-looking sideline reporter. Probably some hungry dogs in that comment section. Sometimes, man, when Kay Adams posts something, fun. Sometimes when Kay Adams posts a photo of herself, you'll have rabid football fans in the comments responding with a video of a bunch of hound dogs going, oh, 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 oh. And I ain't gonna lie, I feel that. What else, man? We got all Bengals stuff. We've already talked about Bengals. Okay. Oh, a guy, apparently a guy got caught on a Jumbotron at a T-Wolves game doing a bump of that booger sugar. And they pan right away. I'll tell you what, man. Being a cameraman like that, instances like this, let's show it on the screen here, Luke. Check this out. Oh yeah. Give me a little bit of that. Yeah, baby. Just a little bit of that salt, boy. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of that I ran out of names. Let me tell you this. I was out on my walk with Jasper tonight, and I heard some music. I heard some folks singing. It was definitely Mexican music. And I thought they were playing something on a stereo, but then I got closer and closer, and it was actually a group of dudes singing together. And the reason I knew they were singing together, it's because they would hit a bar and then they all go, ay, ay, ay! Ah! Ah! It's just so badass, dude. It's like, I don't know. What's the white equivalent of that, you know? What's the black equivalent of that? Maybe when they go, yeah! I just hit your bitch in the Lambo. Yeah. She ain't too thick, but she ham though. Yeah. I hit that blunt in a bando. Yeah. It's badass. I love it. You know what I'm saying? But what's a white equivalent of that? You know what I'm saying? Like if a white boy hits a, she don't come from it, but now she ain't running from it, and she loving the lifestyle. Yeah, what's a good ad lib for a white boy, man? What's a good, you know, because the Mexicans have got the when they're ad-libbing to some damn mariachi music, you know, it's a sign of approval, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I hit that like a Rambo, yeah. White boys are just like, hi, how are ya? Antoine Jackson. And no, not a member of the Jackson 5. Anyway. I know we got some clips here. So, I mean, let's take a look, huh? Take a look. I know we had some football film to go over a little bit. Oh, this is good. Let's start here.
You gonna go to church on Mother's Day?
Yeah, because they give out prizes.
It's probably gonna be Kim's daughter that wins most babies, but I don't know that they are to give a prize for that.
They're just rabbits. Bunch of rabbits.
Hop, 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 hop. Oh, rabbits. I wish you wouldn't say things so visceral like that.
Yeah, well, I ain't that the way the rabbits get them babies?
I'd give a prize to Kim's daughter to quit.
How many they got now?
Bradley, Brian, Ben, Braylon.
What about the one they call Booger?
They do call one Booger. I didn't know you could pick your nose that long. I thought there was a time limit on it. At some point, you run out of stuff to dig. I thought brain matter was about to come out there then. I heard you're up for oldest mother, though.
Well, how old do you think I am? I'm 47 backwards.
I'm 47 backwards. No, that's Appalachia for you, man. That sounds like our damn receptionist in Lexington, Kentucky would fit right into that conversation. Well, I just, Lord willing, my youngest baby's going to have a grandbaby for me on the way. They've been working like jackrabbits. Oh, yes, they have. Yeah, there's something real homey about someone from Appalachia talking to you. Because it's different than Southern dialect. You know, Southern dialect is kind of like this. It's a bit more fluid. Whereas if I'm coming from Appalachia, I'm gonna have a little edge to what I'm saying. I go to church on Sunday, not Sunday. I go to church on Sunday, and that kind of thing. This one, I think, let's see. No filter, truth hurts. I don't know, man.
I'm jumping on my knees.
Yeah, I don't want that. Excuse me. What's this? Yeah. Hey. 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 Yeah. That's a juice man, baby. Hey. 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 Hey, hey. Hey, 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 hey. Yeah. That's at work, baby. Good little teeth. Bang, bang. Superman, bang, bang, boy. That's how you finish a drill right there, baby. What's, yeah, you know, I got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. What's this? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a jump stop, boy. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop that. You can't stop that. You can't stop the jump stop, baby. Yeah, we just kind of sticking it moving here. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you this, man. Basketball is not a friendly sport to the swole. Let me elaborate. When the refs see a big dog on the basketball court, I find that they're much more inclined to call a foul on a big boy that might be a 50-50 type of foul. You know what I'm saying? And yes, I'm speaking from experience. Do I foul sometimes? Yes. Do I foul often? Potentially. But I tell you what, man, if you got a little meat on the bone, any 50-50 call in basketball, it ain't going your way. It just ain't. And so I would love to be able to get a little touch pass from the point guard as I'm going by him and then hit the lane and hit him with that mean jump stop. But I know somebody's going to be there. I know they're going to probably fall on their ass. And then I know it's going to be a charge on me. And I just hurt my team turning the ball over. Next deal.
First thing I do when I get up in the morning, man, is I put one foot on the floor and another foot in the bitch ass, nigga. This is your friendly neighborhood player, pop the sugar free. If it wasn't nobody else left to pimp in the world, nigga, I'd end up pimping me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. If there wasn't no one else in the world to pimp for free, I would start pimping me, baby. I think that's the attitude you got to have in business, man. You're basically saying, hey, I can't control much of what's going on out there. But I can control what I do, baby. And if there ain't no one I can pimp, guess what? Especially if I can't pimp them for free, I'm pimping me, baby. Straight up. What's this?
Johnny, what you making today to eat?
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese?
White man's quesadilla.
Oh, yeah.
White man quesadilla right here. Grilled cheese. Johnny, you have nice hair.
Thank you.
Look at this piece, baby. He says, old Johnny, baby. Johnny got nice hair. You know what I'm saying? We just kind of go with it today, man. Just kind of going against it today, man. We kind of going intrinsic with it, man. And that kind of thing. Let's see. What else we got? This is a little TikTok special, baby.
Big fam, holler at him. What's your name, baby?
Benny, man. Benny.
Big Benny, what you got? What you got for him?
Got boudin, turkey leg.
Huh? Boudin, can I pop the trunk for him?
Oh, yeah.
Here, come pop the trunk for him, man.
Calm down,
that boy,
man.
Got cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Anything y'all want.
Don't make
Riding slab. He finna get it.
Yeah. Pop the
Big
trunk.
Big fam, got y'all. What y'all want?
On you.
Anybody want it, they can get it, huh?
Yeah.
See, what you got for him?
Got a little bit of turkey leg. Some damn
meals on wheels.
Octail.
Shit, meals on wheels.
Yeah.
They ain't ready for him.
That's right.
Big fam say he got meals on wheels.
Oh, yeah. He got the stopper and
got
everything.
Meals on wheels, baby. Oh, look.
That's fire. What you got? Man, he ain't going to show the reveal. Man, I got some turkey legs sitting up there on the smoke out back. What you got out back? What do you mean out back? I got that shit strapped to the trunk of my Honda Civic. Feel me? Out there on the slab. Riding dirty. Riding clean. Riding mean. Man, I got to be... You know, I ain't got no back porch, man. I got this space on the back of my Honda Civic. So that's where I smoke them. And I ain't talking about killing folks. You know what I mean? I'm talking about turkey leg. I'm talking about brisket. I'm talking about chicken wing. God damn, I bet that's the best damn food you could find out there on the back of the Honda Civic, man. Let me tell you what. What is this? What is this?
You goddamn... That's too long. You goddamn stupid idiot. I can't...
Well, I didn't think about that. So why are you cussing me out? Wait, why am I a stupid idiot?
You know what?
Why am I a stupid idiot? Damn, we got much on the TikTok today, man. What else? I don't know. Man, that's... I'm just sifting through, baby. How about we take a look at some football film, huh? How about we take a look? All right, Pat Surtain. This is a rep from Pat Surtain covering DK Metcalf, straight man. Let's see what we got. Stay in that hip pocket. He gets a frame. And then he knocks the ball out. Let's run it back one more time. See that frame? Hip pocket, stick that hand in there and make the play. Man, I can't imagine having to cover goddamn DK Metcalf, man. It's just, it's not something that I would particularly enjoy. But on a guy like DK Metcalf, you got to focus, when you're covering someone like that, you got to focus on getting your frame, staying low in your base, and then staying in that hip pocket and keeping your head up for the football. Easier said than done. I wouldn't be able to physically do it. You know, you got a big, strong, fast black man like DK Metcalf. I don't think I'd be able to body him at the line. I definitely don't have the speed to go step for step. I don't know what my answer would be. And DK Metcalf is like a... He's like an X or a Y. I don't even think he's a Y. I would guess he'd be an X So at linebacker, I wouldn't have to probably cover him unless he was like a two receiver and we were in glue coverage or straight man coverage. And we had a 4-3 defense in college. So it's like I always found myself kind of out on an island with some slot guys every now and then. Your boy had no business being out there with. No business. But a lot of times they'd be like smaller slot guys. You can kind of press them a little bit, get up in the grill. But even then, if you miss, they're gone. You know what I'm saying? Even if you miss, they're gone. Where are we at? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go. Pete Rose is no longer ineligible from baseball. So that's pretty cool. Pete Rose, even though he's dead, now eligible for the Hall of Fame. So that's cool. Two in a row. Oh, yeah. Check this out, baby. From the grass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mmm. Mmm. Look at that form, baby. Look at his shot. Oh, yeah. Straight up. Spot him up in the corner.
Again?
He ready.
Yeah.
One more. Oh, yeah. Bang. Yeah. Kind of looks like how I shoot, man. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. I thought I had a lot of stuff today. Maybe I'm just kind of being overly critical of the things I saved. What about that? Let's see. Anything in here that's worth talking about? Talked about the Trey Hendrickson stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I got much more today. I know we got to hop on a stream here in a little bit, in a minute or two. And I think we're at about an hour. I know I said it's a doubleheader. Different outfits, different frames of mind, right? Probably a little more relaxed after some hard rolling. Probably a little more G shit, you know. But I think I'm going to leave y'all with that for 56. Go ahead, hit the sub button. It ain't going to hurt you, I promise. You ain't going to get bit. Nothing like that. Yeah, the sub button, the like button might bite you. I don't know. In the comment section, I don't know. Yeah, I can't promise that. But I do know that you won't get bit if you hit the subscribe button. So go ahead and do that. We're live every night on YouTube, on Twitch, playing some Madden, playing some NCAA. I'm literally about to go do that. And yeah, I think it's pretty cool being with y'all every week. So holla at your boy. If you watch this long, I love you. If you've watched it all, I love you. But you're probably going to see this part where I tell you I love you. But yeah, man, come on down. Come hang out with us. We're going to get it popping. We continue to get it popping. Tell a friend. We'll holler at you, man. Love you, man.